Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome, hallelujah, to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. We give Him praise, honor, and glory. Hallelujah, because truly God is good, and He is worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. We bless Him. We glorify Him. We thank God for you, you, and especially you. We welcome you on behalf of our co-founder, Archbishop Eugene Smith. We thank God for our senior pastor, Pastor Oshabar Hartman, and the ladies. We bless God for what God is doing in our midst. Thank God for you, you, and especially you being here today that you can share in the Word of God. Amen. So we thank God for another time, hallelujah, we can gather together and study His Word. Amen. Because truly His Word is life. Hallelujah. And we need His Word to lead today. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer, and then we're going to go forth with a piece of a song, and then we're going to come back and dig into Romans 14, beginning at the 10th verse. Amen. Let me do something before you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ooh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
We pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would bless us to write for us as by the word of truth.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we welcome your spirit in this place.
Yes, Lord.
Right now.
Yes, Lord.
Because we know your anointing is what breaks.
Yes, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And Father, we pray that you look up the truth.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Simple song.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
My hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. My hallelujah.
Say it, y'all. Come on, y'all got it. Come on, say,
my hallelujah.
From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice.
My hallelujah. Lord, my hallelujah. Yeah.
My hallelujah belongs to you. Then we simply say, you deserve it. Real simple, say it, church. Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs to you.
Y'all got it now, come on, say it.
All of the glory, Lord, belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs to you.
All of the glory, Lord, yeah.
All of the glory belongs.
Everybody lift your hands right here.
You deserve it. All of the glory belongs to you.
Ooh. Hallelujah.
All of the glory belongs to you.
Why?
You deserve it.
One more time.
You deserve it.
That's your testimony. Come on and clap your hands. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but he said, my hallelujah belongs to you. I don't know about your hallelujah.
Woo! I can't talk for you. I can't talk for you, but I know my hallelujah belongs to him. Hallelujah. All of the glory. Now, I had to change it. I can't just say my hallelujah. But when I get the glory, I got to say all. No matter who glory it is, it all belongs to him. Hallelujah. So we bless him today. We thank him for his presence in our midst. Hallelujah. I don't want to be anywhere he's not. Hallelujah. Because where he is, there's fullness of justice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless him today. We greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. Those of you online, we thank God for you. Those in the building, we bless God for you. And we welcome Archbishop again. Hallelujah. Being our midst. Thank God for you. Thank God for Pastor Hartman and his absence. And love God for Bishop Ann and you, and all of you in the name of Jesus. It's just so good to gather together. Hallelujah. When two or three. I gathered in the midst, hallelujah, and one accord, Jesus said he's going to be in the midst, hallelujah, and where he is, hallelujah, there is liberty, hallelujah, we bless him today, amen. Again, we are in Romans 14 chapter, hallelujah, and today we will begin at the 10th verse, but last week, you know, we talked about how we live for Christ and we die for Christ. And we had a question last week that, you know, how do you help somebody who thinks they're doing the right thing? And they think, how do you approach them?
And, you know, we had some good answers. And I began to meditate on how to recap last week. And I thought about David. David thought he was doing it. That he had the right to do what he did. And so in order for God to get to David, a prophet had to come to him. But check this out. Back in those days, you can't come to a king any kind of way. Because it'll be your head. But God used this prophet to show him a story. He had to use wisdom by the power of the Holy Ghost to express to David this picture so David can see himself. And so like we were saying last week, until the Holy Ghost has to get to that person to show them a picture of themselves, and it's not themselves they're looking at, because we don't see ourselves. We see everybody else's self. But when you can see that another person is dealing with the situation, you can have judgment. You're talking about judgment, right? We can have judgment on that person. And David said, that person ought to be killed. And all Nathan had said was, thou art the man. So the Holy Ghost is so good to us that he allows us, he loves us enough to show us a picture of somebody else. And we can make a judgment. We're talking about judgment, right? We can make a judgment on what punishment they should have. And then when that window that you look through at your neighbor turn into a mirror, you begin to see yourself. And then, like Pastor said on Sunday, you would get convicted by the Spirit of God. And so the only thing we can do is be led by the Spirit when the person is, and when we are ourselves caught up in that. We're not excluded from being puffed up and think we got it all together. In certain areas, we think we got it made until until that testing day comes. And you realize, oh, where did that left foot come from? You know, and so it pays that we would continue to dig into his word so we could continue to see ourselves. Hallelujah. And as we see ourselves, then people will see us. And that's how we encourage each other, by them seeing us, not hearing us necessarily, but seeing what you do. They hear more what you do than what you say. They find a name they find a name for some reason. Y'all remember that people say you dropped the coup de grace?
No.
Oh, y'all never heard that? Or maybe that's a Florida thing. Maybe that's a Florida thing. So people say you drunk the coup de grace. I don't know who coup de grace is. But so it probably was a real person who was always drunk and stupid. But people normally do that. But we thank God that we are here. So when we see the word, we can see out. If we continue to look out and look upon people, we'll never see ourselves. But when we look into this word, the Spirit of God in you don't show you. And so when we hear the word, we should never be trying to figure out, yeah, I wish Sister Sue was here, because she needs this. She missed this. She needs this word. She should have been here. But guess what? You here. And God don't make no mistake. He know why you here. And why Sister Sue ain't here. Right? So today we want to make sure that when we judge, and our grandson made it give an example of judgment, is judgment is to identify something. It's to clarify something. It's not to condemn something. If somebody if a tree has a lemon on it, you identify it as a lemon tree. Just because what's on it, not nothing that you're projecting on it, but it is what it is. So you're just saying what it is. You're not saying that lemon tree is not going to be good or this whatever. You're just going to say it's a lemon tree, right? And so that's how we ought to judge. And we're going to really get into this judgment today. Woo-wee. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. So we're going to have Minister Durrell to do verse 10. Romans 14, verse 10. And hold on a second. You don't have to stand if you don't want to, but you can if you want. You feel free. Romans 14, verse 10. Oh, Lord That's great. And you know, you could be in the hallway at church, right? You'd be in the hallway at church, and you in the conversation with somebody, and a person comes by, walking through the sanctuary, and did not speak to you. And all of a sudden, you saying, the nerve! How's he gonna just walk by me and not say, And you don't know what that person barely just made it out the car. I mean, striving to get in here to get in the presence of God, but you, with your Holy Ghost, they have the nerve to pass you, what? To pass you by. We got to be careful not to judge anybody in that way because you don't know what a person is dealing with. You don't know what they have to face. And so the thing is that whatever we're doing, Paul is trying to say, let's have compassion for one another.
Yeah.
Don't be wanna bury somebody. Why would you want to do that? Because, brothers and sisters, right? So we got to make sure we hold up. I am my brother's keeper. I am. And so I got to act like I am my brother's keeper. After Elder Heath and...
I'm going to give you an example of what happens right here. Like in the world.
You know, and while you going there, you know, that's why the Bible says, know them that labor among you. Because
what I
be alert. Amen. Amen. So we go ahead. So Paul is saying that we all don't get judged. So why are you judging? And you don't have the right to judge. And so as I began to think about this lesson, a well-known incident happened to Jesus, John 8. And I'm going to read the scripture just so we have some, but we all know the story, I believe. But I'm going to take that for granted. I'll just read the scripture. John 8, I'll start at the third verse. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act." Then they snatched out the bed. Y'all got that? "Now Moses in the law command us that such should be stoned, but what you say?" They said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his fingers, as though he did not hear them. So when they continued asking him, he rose up and said to them, "He who is without sin, let him throw the first stone." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted, in that word, by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now check this out. This the same scripture that we were dealing with. When Jesus rose himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where art thou accuser? Has no one condemned you?" Here's the key 11th verse. She said, "No one, Lord." Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." So that's what Paul is really saying. The one who has the right to condemn us, the one who without sin says, "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." So how is it that we who have sin is going to throw up a rock, is going to grab a rock and try to throw it? We don't have the right to do that. And so Paul is saying, do not. How are you going to judge somebody when you're going to be judged yourself? And so when you, if you know that you are vulnerable to the same thing, it helps you to walk a little soft. You understand what I'm saying? If you know you're subject to the same thing, you know you're going to be careful in what you do because you know you're subject to it too. So if we know we're all going to be judged because we all come short. All of us come short. And you know, one of the scriptures I like to say when we're comparing ourselves is that Jesus himself When a young ruler came to him and said, good master, that's what Jesus said. None good but the Father. Now, Jesus said that. How are we going to think we're good? How are we going to think we're good? And so if we realize that we are vulnerable to anything that Satan brings, we're vulnerable if we don't watch, we don't be alert, we are vulnerable to it. So if you know that you can fall at any time, that when you see somebody falling, you'll be glad to try to pick them up. Because you don't want somebody to pick you up. Right? And so we can't be to a place where we think that we got it made and I need to, you know how people say, I need to straighten them out. Well, you ain't straight. Right? None of us are at a place where we can say that I'm without sin. And Jesus, who was without sin, said, don't call me good. So we have nothing to stand on. And so Paul is saying, please do not judge. How are you going to judge somebody? And you're going to be judged too. And your brother, for we shall all stand before the judgment. And it ain't about how I feel about you or how you feel about me. It's the truth of God that Jesus is going to judge. He's the only righteous judge. We can judge based on our own feelings. May the Holy Ghost have to straighten me out one day. Then the late Archbishop came. I had a conversation with him. I said, I got a list of folks. You could have stepped out of here. I did. When you're in Greece, you talk crazy. I said, I got a list of people you can say. Why him? Holy Ghost said, yeah, somebody else got a list and you own it. I was like, okay. I mean, he woke me up real quick. But I don't know about the Holy Ghost talking to me like that. He's like, okay. He's talking crazy. And I'm serious now. I think I'm saying something right. I'm thinking I'm saying something that's godly, that this is what I should be saying. He said, yeah. Uh-huh. Other folks got lit, and you own it. That thing woke me up. So don't think that you are in a place where you can make judgment, decide who God's going to take out of you. Who are we? God has life and death in his hands, right? He gives life. And so we don't have the right to choose who's going to live. Because if it was up to that, right? Oh yeah, oh yeah. They'll never see themselves. If you're telling them about themselves, they already have this wall up. turned you off. I'm chewing you out. So whatever, all you're doing is, all they're saying is your mouth moving. They ain't heard nothing you said. But once you start telling about somebody else, oh, they got it turned up, man. They're like, ooh, yeah, you see what she did? Oh, they're all in it. But when they turn around and they, that window turned into a mirror. So that's exactly, that's all you have done. Oh, yeah, because pride tells you that you're right. Pride tells you that you got it going on. Pride tells you that everybody else needs your help. You got to straighten out. You, it's your responsibility to straighten out everybody. But you got it going on. And people who are in a whole lot of stuff, I think in counseling we call it reflecting, where people project it off on you so you don't sit to see them. The more noise they make over here on you, you don't have time to see them because you're so busy, they done got you distracted seeing something else, so you don't see them. That's all that is. And but the truth, if they ever get a chance to see it, the truth as the truth, they'll come to themselves. And then like those men, I mean, think about this now. They conspired to trap Jesus. They didn't care. The little lady ain't got a name. They didn't care about this little lady. And I know a man was in the bed with her. Right? But they ain't brought that man. Did you notice that? Because he was part of the crew. He was part of the crew that said, okay, we're going to get Jesus. Because, hey, I sleep around this little lady around the corner. We're going to pull her out. Bring her before Jesus and see what Jesus does. That's embarrassing. They're trying to, now, judging this lady in front of Jesus and trying to put Jesus against Moses. But Jesus was able to show them what judgment is. Okay, if you are without sin, why didn't throw it? He didn't say don't throw the stone, did he? He let the word. You without sin, you cast the first stone. They got convicted. They said, let me get out of here. You're going to put my cover on me. Right?
All that
was death, but since Jesus was there and he knew what Leviticus, the law of Leviticus, kept saying, you shall bring them, or they both shall be this, and they shall be. But if he had to do that and make that judgment to condemn her there, then they would have said, oh, he doesn't have the right. Oh, blasphemy, who are you? But if he said, well, let her go, then they say, he calls himself a leader, and he lacks on moral laws in this society. So he did it that way because he knew that if they bought the woman by law, he would have to go, or they would have to go get the man and bring the man, because the Leviticus only said that they both had to be condemned. Mm-hmm. And he knew he couldn't just do that with the women, and they couldn't either. So he threw it on them. Okay, you who are living uprighteous and moral to the highest standards, you pick up the first stone and place this judgment on it. So they, you know, I know.
Hold on.
My thing was, where is the man? It could have been the man that started the whole situation.
They know this is true. So we're going to do this on this particular day. Y'all just come at this particular time and pull her out. Leave me now and pull her out. And that's what they did, right? So it was a plan, conspiracy. But the whole thing was that they want to put Jesus against Moses and try to condemn him for deflecting their sin. But Jesus then threw the rock at them, and they saw themselves. Again, remember I said about what Nathan did to David? They began to see themselves. He said, although this lady was caught in it, they said the very act. Okay? But then he said they caught in the very act. So now when Jesus said, okay, if you without sin. So now all of a sudden that glass, the window they was looking at the lady at, turned into a mirror. They saw themselves. And they say, okay, we got to go.
Right. And not only what had happened, I'm thinking this what I'm hearing, not only what had happened, because there was a judgment as to what had happened. They had made the plan, and the lady and the man was caught in the adultery, right? But the word is trying to tell us not to condemn. So even though there's a judgment, you can judge something. You can judge if a person is lying. You can judge if a person is committing adultery. You can judge that. You just not judging the person to send them to hell or to have them hung. You know, you're not doing that because we don't have the authority to do that. Got it?
And so we got to be careful not to condemn, but to enlighten.
Yes,
that's what judgment does. Enlighten, it reveals the truth about things. That's what you want to do, reveal the truth. So now when you're confronted with the truth, then you got a responsibility to respond to it. David saw the truth. He didn't see, while he was doing what he was doing, he didn't see the truth. All he did was being satisfied and talking up with death. He didn't see the truth. But when he saw this picture of this little man who had this one little lamb, all of a sudden he got compassion for this man and got upset, right? Not even seeing himself doing the same thing, because his judgment was a nobody. He was top dog. Whatever I do is good. I'm the king. I can do what I want to do. I can put Uriah in front of the line so he can be gone, and then my stuff can be covered up because he's not going to be here no more. Because he thought he had all the authority. In those days, kings had authority. And he was using that to his advantage, right? And so people do that today. Use their authority to their advantage to cover stuff up. But there's going to come a time, whether it's on this earth or not, judgment going to be executed, right? And so our job is that when we see or hear or know of somebody that is in a fault, go to God on their behalf. God is the one who's going to paint the picture to show them themselves. God is so good, man, let me tell you. You can, it could be on a billboard. If you're thinking about something, and all of a sudden this billboard show you, and you can't help but seeing that's you. Because God's trying to get to you. And God will do that. And so our job is not to try to put that person in hell. Our job is now to how we get that person out of hell. Hello? What do we do that person don't wind up going to hell? Because if that's my brother, love covers a multitude of sins. Not expose it, but people want you to look bad because they know they got some stuff. If we both here, if I can get you down here, and so my little talking, my little telling about your stuff is going to get people to see you down here, and I'm going to be up here. But we all trying to get up.
Would be instead of saying I don't have the scripture in my head about what the Bible said about judgment. I know it says judge not, lest ye be judged. So to me, that doesn't say you're not going to be you're not judged. It just say you're going to get judged back too. But I don't know what it says about no judgment. And so I'm not trying to speak to that, but if you have a reference, we can discuss it further. But what I'm trying to get to is perhaps a better expression would be to say, I have no condemnation for you. We shouldn't condemn, because it gets very. I've been saved 59 years, okay, and I walk with God all these years, so it's not like I've been, you know, in the church, out the church, and so and I've been on the teaching all these years. So I'm saying that just to say, I'm not a novice in the things of God, but I have to remind myself often of expressions that we use as children of God, as kingdom people, that is so confusing. It ain't confusing. It could confuse me if I wasn't in this, you know what I'm saying, doing this study and teaching. But just to say, don't judge nobody. Well, that's just so not real. And so this generation that we're in now looks you in the face and say to you, you ain't real because you judging and I judge and everybody know they judging. We judge all the time. I walk in, I saw you and Bishop Ann, and the first thing I said in my mind was, oh, they just are like in that beautiful green and black. Well, what am I doing? I'm assessing what you're wearing. It ain't really my business, but I am still assessing it. That's judging. That's judging. Identify. That's what judging is. Now, if I said, they should not be dressing alike or, make some kind of condemning you for it. Now, that's another story. And see how simple it can be when we are crossing those lines, because it ain't got to be nothing important. It can be something so simple, but we just ain't got nothing to do. It ain't our business, but we condemning. I think that we, if we can plan in our minds to try and use a language that speaks more truth to the person that's not religious, not churchy, not spiritual in the sense of what we talk about when we say we're spiritual, then we can win more people, because they would not look at us and think we don't know what we're saying. You know, like the old parable we talk about, the years you say the doors of the church is open, but we're telling the ushers to close the doors so we can take people in. That's an old Baptist system. Ushers closed the doors, now we're getting ready to open the doors of the church. And even as a child, I used to think, there's something wrong with that, you know. So I just want to put that in the spirit so that we can use a terminology that more speaks to what the scripture says. Don't condemn. Don't, because the Bible talk about at the end of the age, when Jesus come back, that the saints are going there. Okay, I won't. Yeah.
And so that's why I went to that scripture in John. Jesus didn't say don't judge her, condemns you. That's the language. That's why I went there. Yeah, that's why I went there, because so we can see is not that she was an adulteress. The judgment on that, that's what she was. They exposed her. Remember I say judgment is exposing and identifying? Yes, she was. But he's saying condemned. That's why I brought that scripture out, so we can see that is not the judgment of saying she's an adulteress. No, he didn't condemn her because death, and Bishop Ann said that, the death was going to be the sentence. They were going to stone her. That's the condemnation. They sentenced her to death. And not only that, they were going to execute the sentence right then and there. They had stones ready to do that. And so that's where we get in trouble, when we're trying to execute punishment, let me say it like that, for a wrong that somebody did. Don't execute punishment. Let God do that. Was that?
So how do we have that, like in a court of law, you know, the saints, when they go through certain situations in a court of law, how should they handle themselves? So like spiritually, how would that happen?
I'm not sure. If they're in a court of law, they've been accused of.
Yeah. And they're found guilty, or they're guilty.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Found guilty by the court? By the court, and they get sentenced?
Yeah. And so, you know, like when this situation starts and they are presented to a court of law or whatever, as Christians, how should that be, how should they conduct themselves or carry themselves as far as compliance? And so when you, and you're serving on the jury, how do you?
Has set the court in the order. And also it says that we should submit to the law of the land. And as Christians, it is important that we serve. Because if we are serving, then one, our judgment should be more based upon the facts and not on feelings or being manipulated or whatever. So the person should get a better shot at justice if the new high priest is doing the judgment. However, that's the rest of the story. The rest of the story is if I commit a crime in the U.S., and it says if I commit this crime, then this crime warrants this, then I, as a person, have to be willing to commit to that judgment because I did the crime. All right? So if a person, a Christian, serving on a jury or a judge, I just talked to a young lady from down here, a judge,
hovering over that cage because she's a Christian. If she was a wicked person, she would just be, it ain't matter to me. But she's laboring over because she's a Christian. And what she's got to do is take the facts to the best of her ability and give the best judgment she can and rest in that. But yes, we need to be in this place. The Bible says when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. And that's what has happened with Christians. We have allowed ourselves to push in corners. It uses the same Bible. The thing about the Bible is that you have to know the scripture according to what it's saying and not perception. They use the same Bible to say, I can't serve on jury duty, I can't be a judge, I can't do all these things because we hear a message that sounds like being a judge. We didn't say you can't judge, but you can't judge. Now, the person responsible for doing the sentencing, that's the set by God as a law in the land, in the Bible says it clearly, that we are to obey those laws.
All powers given, subject to, all given by God. So we already know we got to be submitted to the laws of the land. That's what we're saying. We can't, just because you're a Christian, you can't break the speed limit. So you say you can't be feeling and doing. No.
Making a decision about what you should do. So, yes, you should be running all these things. I tell people all the time, if you work on a job and there's opportunity for you to be the manager, take it. The Christians are back. When I was in corporate, I used to just work people, try to get them to take the leadership, take the management of jobs. They so busy wanting to be just, you know, I don't want their responsibility. No, we are Christians. We're supposed to be leading the world, not letting the world lead us. And so, yeah, we should be jury judges, the whole nine yards, attorneys, all of that.
You know, since we are talking about judging and committing adultery, we don't want to give no one a pass. And what I mean about that is this right here. Sometimes we can go to people and talk to them and, hey, I know you're sleeping around with son, husband. And they say, you can't judge me. You know, get out of my face. It's not that you're judging them. You're trying to get them on the right track. It become a problem if I get on the phone and call Elder Heath or Jeanette and say, da-da-da, just Jeanette. You know, I don't take it out of play yourself. But what I'm saying, we need to still tell people the truth because the word of God says, not commit adultery. So you can say I'm judging you all day long.
Right.
If I come to you with that, you know. I'm going to come one time and that's going to be it. And then I'm going to keep you in prayer. Do I treat you in a differently?
Right.
No. The same.
That's exactly.
And going back to what I was saying earlier, and the key is we are judging that. We don't have to run from that word. It's give that definition again. Bring it clarity. That's what you're doing. If you're exposed, you're letting that person know, I see you. And I want to bring to your attention to the past. It's nothing but destruction.
Right.
So that is judging. We got to not be uncomfortable with that's the truth. That's what feels right.
And we do.
But I don't have no condemnation. I'm not condemning you.
That's
but
right.
I am letting you know I see you and what you're doing is contrary to the word of God.
There you go.
Now that's why the Christians are so weak. Because we got all this dancing we're doing when we really just need to be integral. This is integral. It works. And you know what how people feel about it. People talk to me all the time about, you know, what I say and do, and I'd be like, you know what? I mean no harm to you. I apologize to her just on the team. Just talk to dad about me. Then they can't get on to me. And then sometimes people are like, no, you didn't know what I said.
That is good.
To be a leader anywhere, to be somebody with integrity, you got to risk being disliked. You can't be a leader and don't want to be disliked. Jesus is disliked.
whoever, whoever becomes a leader, if you're a parent, you have to risk your children don't want to speak to you because you tell them the truth. You got to risk that. If you don't, you won't be sorry later on. Because they're going to come back to fight.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be a soft fight. Mm-hmm. You're going to be gummy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be some canines. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all were among the comment party in 2008, and not one of my supervisors were there because they were upset with me.
Mm-hmm.
And because I held my ground, you know, and it's kind of like what Bishop told me before he passed. He said, I went to him in prayer about whether I should even accept the position of chief or not. And like Bishop Ruth said, you're a change maker. You know, put yourself in a position that you can make changes. One of the things I always said, what if? What if? You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do it to him. And I tell my kids all the time when they complain about somebody, call them this name. You know anything about Jesus? So this is last night. Did you hear about Jesus? Yeah, yeah. I believe the Son of God. You get to this one. I found this. What? A devil. I think this kid is what? I think so. What are we compared to Jesus? If they call Jesus that, don't you think they don't call you that? But what did Jesus do? He just ignored that and kept doing what he's doing. That's what you need to do. So no matter what you do, you ain't gonna have no smooth. What the Bible say? Many are the afflictions. Not of the wicked now. We got the twisted. He said many the affliction of the righteous. But I like the but. Hallelujah. But the Lord delivered them out of them all, not some. And so we know stuff gonna come at us, right? So in order to be a witness or bear or help anybody, you have to risk them not liking you. come on. Yeah, be weary, dude. Oh, it's going too smooth.
I think we did one verse today.
Thank God. 5 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Give me that number because you know.
Oh. 605-475-4.
So thank God for everybody. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. God. We are judges because we're going to expose and we're going to identify that which is wrong and that which is right. And we're not gonna condemn anybody because that's not our job. But we gonna judge them, let them know how else they gonna know. David could have went along with his stuff all the rest of his life, but because he was a man after God's own heart, which I couldn't figure out when I was growing up, how in the world is a man after God all this stuff? But God loved him enough to send a prophet. So the same thing, the same God loved all of us. So when we're in a situation where we don't need to be, God going to send a prophet to you to shake you up and let you know, hey, you know you're wrong. Get right. Amen? So we thank God for loving us enough. We ask all of you who have your offering, please go ahead and give your offering. Bless the Lord to see your store. Has been blessing people. Give my love. Those of you online, please make your offering go to the app. And after you do that, just send the amount to 770-906-0607. 770-906-0607. Thank y'all so much. We pray God bless you all this offering. Father God, we thank you for an opportunity that we can sow into your kingdom. You said, oh God, if we sow, we shall reap. So God, we thank you, oh God, for the reaping that we're going to have, the harvest, oh God, that you're going to give us, oh God. We thank you that we have a heart to give to you because you've given us your best. You give us your only begotten Son. So Father God, we thank you. We bless you. We glorify. Bless this offering, oh God. Multiply it in the name of Jesus. God, that every bill, everything that we need to be paid, God, is paid in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for surplus. We thank you for overflow in the name of Jesus. God, as your house get overflow and surplus, our house will get it, God. We thank you. We thank you. We give you praise that, God, we will be the man that was given to somebody's bosom in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you, God, that we know we are not judges, but we are the ones who are going to identify the truth in this land, and we're not going to condemn anybody, but we're going to let them know the truth. In the mighty name of God, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, amen. Thank you all so much.